This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
Oh, why did I shout like that? What a weird
thing.
Well,
you're very excited to be doing
this
link.
I don't know. A bit, sorry about that. Just quite out of character.
It's woken people up.
Anyway, this is Paul Hawksby. That's more like it. And
Andy Jacobs.
Oh, yeah, blimey, don't do that. And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by the former Liverpool chairman, a man who looked to buy Chelsea, big Chelsea fan, Sir Martin Broughton.
Very interesting chap.
Interesting career in a world of sport and beyond, BA, etc. So we chatted to him. We brought you some clips of the month for January, which you very much like, so we'll bring you that. We had a bit of a chat about various things. And also, Andy's become quite obsessed with the links of Clive Myrie and Mastermind over on BBC Two. And he thinks he's been lining up specialist subjects until he has a good performance. And he did pretty well today, as you'll discover, but there was a reason for that. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And you saw this, but Paul Merson thinks it's harder to become a professional footballer than a brain surgeon.
Really?
It's good, isn't it? If you want to be a brain surgeon, you pick up a book and you study it and study it and study it. If you do everything properly, you'll end up a brain surgeon. It's as interesting, it's as easy as that, apparently.
You have to come. You have to go through the academy.
Yeah.
You have to go through the old brain surgeon academy. You know,
you can be, yeah, you can be cut
quite a lot of them.
Point,
quite
yeah.
a lot of them just
don't
kind
go
of,
on to make
when
it.
When they're 60, that moment as you go in as a sort of 16, 17-year-old brain surgeon and someone has to sit there like, with your parents and say, sorry, son.
You're not good enough.
After what happened last time, I'm afraid. You know, I think the an errant back pass, you know, obviously is a bit upsetting.
Well, it
and
can
annoys
be annoying,
the fans.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of shonky brain surgery, I think. All I would say, Merce, is that you've got to think of the jeopardy.
I read
a series of... I mean, honestly, if you want to know about the world of brain surgery, Henry Marsh, the books of Henry Marsh, you've written about three books.
Oh, yeah, no, I know about that.
Fantastic, all brilliant books. Anyway, so there we are. Book recommendations, Merce, if it led to nothing else.
Welcome to Between the Covers.
You did that, yeah.
What do we got here? It's interesting, actually. People, they always want to denigrate things. And this one from...
What, like you and Brighton?
Well, very much so.
It's great, isn't it?
Spurs legend Jimmy Greaves' club goals total, yeah. But take away Kane's easy goals, i.e. penalties, and he doesn't even come close to Jimmy's record. But they both... I checked it. They both took penalties. Kane's taken 30 penalties for Spurs, and Jimmy Greaves took 27.
Yeah.
So well done, mate. That's absolutely not accurate at all.
You have to look beyond his Tottenham record, Jim's Tottenham record, which was sensational. The goals he scored at Chelsea
Milan,
even the goals
West
he scored
Ham.
In Milan. He was only there for about 10 minutes and he still scored loads of goals.
No, absolutely. You know, they're both brilliant players.
There's no point
but I think,
comparing and contrasting.
No,
really.
It was a different time.
Yeah, no, exactly. They were both,
the whole
they're both
thing.
Great players.
Well done to LeBron James. He doesn't need me to say that. But the tickets to see this were £57,000. I don't know whether they went. This is what they were being listed for. And they would have been. He needed 36 points before he broke the record, which is quite a lot in one game, and even for him. So the tickets for the following game were even more. They were up to sort of like, no, more, about 68,000.
So
can you imagine if you bought those and then he's already done it?
Yeah.
Thanks. But, can I give it back?
Well, I was on holiday in San Francisco years ago when Barry Bonds was hoping to break the all-time home run record. And all the games were sellouts because people wanted to be there to see him do it. And there was all these little boats in the water in San Francisco Bay.
Because that's where the ball used to go.
Waiting for him to hit one out. And so it was amazing. We got some cheap tickets up in the old vomitorio, as they say in Spain, right up the back. But you could see all these boats waiting for the... Because obviously... The ball that he broke Hank Aaron's record would have been worth a lot of money. Going back to LeBron, being at the game when Harry Kane broke Jimmy Greaves' record at the weekend, I'd say there was maybe 30 or 40 seconds extra in terms of celebrations than there would have been around any goal scored. That was maybe. A few things came up on the board. Our old mate Pete Abbott announced it was the record-breaking goal. The players celebrated with him. But no more than 30, 40 seconds till they restarted. No one got booked or anything. Last night, I was at about 6 or 7 minutes, the game stopped when LeBron did it. His family came on, his son came on, his mum came onto the court, his part, everybody Kareem. Came on the court. Kareem came on, their speeches, and then they restarted the game 6 or 7 minutes afterwards.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Right? Well, I suppose, look, it was a massive record. Yeah, you know, it wasn't just, you know, one club's leading scorer. This was... the all-time score in the sport.
And was it about mid-80s?
I remember Drogba. The nearest thing I remember, Drogba got subbed off in the middle of a game and it was his last game for Chelsea and they all stopped to applaud.
I remember that.
Off.
Yeah. But it really happens in British sport. Yeah, anyway, I was wandering into the studios today, something to get you going. I've sent this to Andy Dawson, Sunderland supporting friend of the show. And there was a board. I know pubs have boards outside to entice you in to watch the football. This was a pub in the city of London, and they were promoting the game between Sunderland and Fulham. S-A-N-D-E-R.
Wasn't there a program called Sandylands?
Yeah, Sunderland. S-A-N-D-E-R-L-A-N-D. I did point out to Andy, that's probably the way us Cockneys pronounce it.
Yeah.
But, I was thinking, Tony Mowbray, pin that on the dressing room wall tonight. They can't even get our name right. We'll show them in the Token House pub in the city.
There is a Sunderland place in Lincolnshire called Sunderland.
But I don't think they're playing them in the FA Cup. I think that would be quite the story.
Seems
unlikely. If Sunderland have got a team. So if you're a fan of Sunderland as opposed to Sunderland, we just ask because, pin that on the dressing room wall. It doesn't take a lot to wind up some people to... I mean, Billy Sharp, for example, last night, he definitely took against some of the Wrexham players talking about even the possibility of playing Tottenham and fed off of that. So it did our team talk for us.
Very enjoyable. Ali was right. Two very enjoyable games.
Yeah. And
it'll be a good test for Sheffield United to see where they stand in terms of coming up and playing Spurs. So.
Yeah, Tottenham will have to put out a very strong side.
Interesting.
So. Anyway,
I was reading a piece in the Times today last week, about shorts in February.
Yeah.
I wear them, says the writer, and so should you, if you're a postman.
Posties, of course. Talking of that, I saw some pictures today of kits, new football kits, the shorts of football kits with pockets.
Oh, really?
Look at that.
So need a pocket?
Is that only for the replica stuff, or are these the actual kit shorts, the players' shorts? I couldn't get to the bottom of it. Maybe the listeners know, but pockets in football kits. But
I think it's a good idea because somebody like grab you by the pocket.
Yeah, you don't want to
be held down by the pocket.
You've been held down by the pocket.
He's picked his pocket. football,
literally picked his pocket. So maybe you can shed some light on that. That's good. And I suppose it's when they come on those little bits of paper with instructions, rather than tearing it up and throwing it, you can put it in your pocket. and if you want a packet of boiled sweets
It's not a bad idea.
Playing football with pockets. Let us know. That sounds like a real Charlie's choice.
The Hawks. Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You missed Sue Pollard yesterday, Andy.
I heard it. She was fantastic.
She came in like a whirlwind.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
She was great fun. Mm. Yeah, so Charlie's favourite sitcom. He was a proper fanboy. Anyway.
No, it was great. Mm. Now, I watched Mastermind, as I like to do on a Monday.
Yeah.
And I've picked up on this fact. I call it Mastermind, Not the Plumber Game, with Clive Murray, with his over-explaining the specialist subjects.
Yeah.
So this week, this is a good one, this week we start with. The specialist subject was The Great Fire of London. Here's Clive. Yeah. The fire that burned from the 2nd and 6th of September and destroyed 13,000 houses, over 80 churches and St. Paul's Cathedral. So not a barbecue in Hyde Park then that went wrong. Brilliant, isn't it? Who doesn't know what the Great Fire of London is? We all know what it is.
I suppose you have to give a bit of... Having given the explanation, if someone comes on and says the life and times of Justin de Villeneuve, I mean, you're not going to think he played at the back for Luton Town, are you? No. You're going to need to explain who he is to most people.
Right. The career of the footballer John Barnes.
Yeah.
The talented winger who played 79 times for England before becoming a manager and a football pundit. So not John Barnes the plumber, then.
Well,
who is quite good.
I'm not altogether sure, Andy, that you're right about this, because I think you need a basic, because not everybody watches Mastermind is a football fan, you know, just because you know.
Yeah. What about this one? The novels of J.R.R. Tolkien. The epic...
R.R.R. What are you doing? David Mellor.
David Mellor.
I see...
How many did I do an extra R?
You did an... No, I think you got the right amount of R's. You just did them in a David Mellor style.
J.R.R.
Yeah. Used to love the cheating football knowledge of David Mellor whenever he did phone-ins.
Oh, yeah,
that wasn't
it. Was, yeah.
He'd say, bang him on the back. You're a Swindon Town fan, I see. And, of course, Swindon Town are currently in the... Buy him for time, mate. Fulham fan who became a Chelsea fan.
It's very true.
That's what you want.
The novels of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Oh, yeah, R.R., yeah.
The epic fantasy novel, eventually published in three parts, The Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, and The Return of the King.
Yeah.
So not the novels of the plumber, Jim Tolkien.
If you saw that on the side of a van, though, J.R.R., I'm doing it now, J.R.R. Tolkien, Plumbing Services.
Who shot J.R.R. Tolkien?
Plumbing Services. That would be great, wouldn't it? Is that J.R.R. Tolkien? Yes, it is, mate. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You got your rods.
I haven't got any rings. I'll bring me rods. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this one, though, Clive, for some reason, completely gave us not a lot of info. It was the film adaptations of Shakespeare tragedies. And he just said, the classic plays of the big screen. I thought, I want a bit more than that, Clive. Oh, come on.
You can't have it all. You can't have your cake and eat it. One day he's just going to say whatever the subject is, and then he'll say, work it out for yourself, Andy Jacobs, and flick you the V's. Quite
the
possible.
Radio career of Andy Jacobs.
Yeah, blimey, that won't take long.
Actually, my specialist subject this week is Jim Laker's commentary on the 1971 Gillette Cup semi-final between Lancashire and Gloucestershire.
Andy always claims when he watches Mastermind he would do very well on the specialist subjects.
The problem is the general knowledge this week, I got 9, 10 and 11.
Yeah.
But I only got 3 on the bloke. This bloke got all 14, I've never seen this before, he got all 14 right on John Barnes.
Wow, okay.
I know, but then he only got 5 in the general knowledge. So obviously he only knows about John Barnes.
Knows a lot about John Barnes.
Yeah.
If I was John, I'd be a bit worried. you've answered questions in the last couple of weeks. On Chelsea, Junior Abramovich. Got 1 out of 10. One of the blokes got in touch, and I got more than that, and I'm an Arsenal fan.
I know.
Then we had cricket, England Ashes.
Ashes cricket since 1970.
And you got, what, about
5?
5, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
5 out of 10.
What are we doing today? We're doing, what's your specialist subject today?
Jim Laker's commentary in the 1971 Gillette Cup semi-final.
See, that's often the way to do it. Yeah. In the celebrity masterminds, they'll say one episode of The Simpsons, you know, like the monorail, and so you've only got 25 minutes to tell it to answer the questions. Okay, let's see how you get on with the career of Jim Laker, the great cricket out-of-turn commentator.
Oh, going for the career of him, okay.
Oh, no, I'll
answer questions on anything. Yeah.
Okay, your time starts now. Which Lancashire number 11 came in and scored 26 alongside Jack Bond to win them the game?
David Hughes.
I can hardly see David Hughes. Which Lancashire bowler took 1 for 68, taking the key wicket of Gloucestershire's Roger Knight?
Ian Austin.
No, David Hughes.
Okay.
Which batsman could commentator Jim Laker struggle to see as the match finished in near darkness with no floodlights available?
David Hughes.
David Hughes, correct. Who was told by umpire Arthur Jepson, you can see the moon, how far do you want to see, when complaining about the lack of light as the game drew to an end?
David Hughes.
David Hughes. Who won player of the match for his contribution with bat and ball in the game?
David Hughes.
David Hughes, correct. And who scored 24 runs from one over as Lancashire sealed a famous... I've started, so I'll finish. Sealed a famous victory.
I think it was David Hughes.
David Hughes. You managed still to get one of those wrong.
I did. Until I tweaked what was going on.
Roger. You're a quick learner, aren't you, Andy?
I am, yeah. Well played.
Yeah, Roger. So there we are.
Yes.
So you did pretty well there. You did pretty well, actually, as
Thank
Andy's
you.
Mate
too bad.
And Charlie's, sorry, Alan's mate said. So let's bring you the clips of the month, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, clips of the month for January. You can vote on Twitter at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. So go along there once you've heard the clips. We've got six. There'll be two semi-finals of three. And then, should we play them at 3 o'clock, ask the producer, or about 3 o'clock? We'll give you the winner just before the 3 o'clock news and sport. So you've got around 45 minutes or so to vote for your favourite once you've heard them. And we will begin with Martin, an Everton caller, who seemed very keen for us to pay attention to what he was saying.
Martin, your thoughts on what's going on this season, and in particular, Frank Lampard is your boss.
Listen. There's about 20 of us. We go everywhere with Everton. And I'm going to tell you something now. I listen to all them people on that radio. They're not for a word with it. Listen, what winds me up is they haven't got a clue.
What about the players that Frank brought in the summer? You look at the defence, Connor Cody and Tarkowski.
Listen.
The next two games are Southampton and West Ham. Must win games, Martin, right?
Oh, he's gone today, so I'm just waiting. But listen.
Listen, yeah, we're listening. Okay. Don't worry, Martin, we've got no choice, we're listening.
It's time now for Carry On Talksport featuring Alan Brazil and Stuart Pearce.
Corberan, who's gone into West Bromwich Albion in the Championship and done absolutely wonders to get them in the playoff places, so perhaps that's maybe a more realistic target. But
what about his package, though?
I've just got to throw one point in here that isn't football-related. But I don't know whether you've noticed that Resh is stroking her blow heater.
Sid James would have been pleased with that one, wouldn't he?
It was.
So there we are, it's Carry On Talksport. We did enjoy Adam Bridges' in-depth interview with the Wolves manager Julian Lopetegui this month.
You must be delighted with the performance from your team tonight.
Good night.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Frost-Nixon.
Very much for that. Marvellous. Julian.
Alan Brazil now, who appeared to be struggling with a small pocket of wind.
What worries me, Glenn, I don't want you to sound like a stock record, but when it comes to the crunch.
Dirty boy. This was Natalie Sawyer struggling with her words.
They are looking to rebuild their midfield. We know that Luka Modric, even though he's evergreen and just plays. Effortless. I can't say the word. I can't even say it. Effortlessly.
It's just not coming, was it? Effortlessly.
That often happens. It's frustrating when it does.
And finally,
it's Nick Ellerby with the sports news. And we promise you, this is exactly how it went out.
Defender James Collins has told TalkSport he owes his career highlight to Bale, who Collins says got Wales to Euro 2016 almost single-handedly, while TalkSport's own Wales legend Dean Saunders says the country should build a statue of Bale.
My name's Carl, and I'm a wombat.
That's very
tremendous impression, Ozzy. I didn't know he did all the voices, Dean. That's brilliant. Yeah. So well done to Dean on there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, Sir Martin Broughton was the chairman of Liverpool. He's a huge Chelsea fan and was part of a consortium that tried to buy the club last year. He has written his autobiography, Whenever I Hear That Song, the memoir of a very British businessman, and he's joined us in the studio. Good to see you.
Nice to be here.
I've got a question. Is it fair to say you're the most popular Chelsea fan in Liverpool?
I think that's probably true. The day that the Fenway people came and the cop sang "There's only one Martin Broughton," that was quite a memory.
It seems, I mean, you've had an incredibly varied business career at British Airways. You've worked in Formula One. But it's interesting that for the cover of the book, it is a moment surrounded by Liverpool fans with a Liverpool scarf in the back. So it's obviously a huge part of your life and your career, very memorable and the time you're proud of.
Yeah, it is. It's strange. I'm 33 years at British American Tobacco, 11 years as the CEO before going on to British Airways and other things. I'll be remembered, I think, mostly for the sort of 8 months at Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's football for you.
But I mean, it was a brilliant deal for them, wasn't it? I mean, they've been massively successful. Right, this season's a bit of a struggle, but it's worked really well.
You look back on these things, and I'm really delighted it's worked out so well. The Fenway team, John, they've done everything they said they would do.
They now find themselves in a situation where no one's quite sure whether they're going to look for a kind of minority stake, or whether, if the right offer came along, that they would actually sell the club. I mean, what's your gut feeling? I'm sure you keep in contact with them.
Yeah, my gut feeling is, I'm not sure it's my feeling or what I think they should do in a sense. What I'd like to see is them bring in minority investors and then gradually cede control to the minority investor. Rather than have a sudden transition from one set of owners to another, more gradual transition, I think, would keep their legacy strong.
And you can, in a sense, you can look at the new people that are coming in and make sure they're good custodians,
which you rarely get the chance to do.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously felt they were when they came in. They had a great pedigree in sports in the States.
What I'd seen them do at Red Sox
was
basically you take a club with a huge tradition but hadn't lived up to it back to the top and threw away the idea of buying and building a new stadium, but restored the old stadium. They had a track record, which was exactly what we were looking for.
It's a massive responsibility, though, you have, isn't it? Because after what had gone on, they wanted to be in safe hands, and you're there in that transitional period, and it's, you know, even though they might have said, come in Agent Broughton, the Chelsea banners. But so you must feel that, I mean, whoever you support, you must feel that responsibility.
Oh, you do. Mm. Yeah, you certainly do. I've supported Chelsea since 1954, right? I've been going down there.
Not many people coming to the update.
Andy, you may have been there about the same time.
He remembers
time,
Roy Bentley playing.
You were 59.
Yeah, they're a similar ilk.
Yeah.
And most of that time, Chelsea were not a top team.
Mm.
And during those years, Liverpool was really the team I liked to see up the top there.
Yeah.
So there was an empathy. Even before I took up the position.
Why Chelsea? Was it a family thing? Was it?
Yeah, I was born and brought up within walking distance of Stamford Bridge, so it was the local team.
Yeah.
So you were part of the consortium with Sebco to buy Chelsea. There were lots of interested parties, but fair to say probably you and Bowley were probably the main ones.
Yeah.
You must have been disappointed, I suppose.
True.
Yes. Well, no, I mean, fantastic for you if you'd
How close did you come, Martin?
Yeah, it's always hard to tell. I think we bid the same amount. I don't think there was a wafer between the amount we bid and what they bid. In many ways, Rain Group led us all down to almost telling us what to bid.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're very close.
I mean, it's quite difficult. You are a fan, and Andy, at Nightwise, is a fan. They're watching what's going on at the moment and the approach that Todd Boehly and his team have taken to it. Would your approach have been different, you think, when you look at the way that these last two transfer windows, for example?
I'm sure it would have been different. it's actually quite hard to say how different.
Mm.
you know, we certainly wouldn't have been seeking Tommy Tuchel's exit. But once you get in, you may find you are seeking. You know what I mean? Once you're inside, things can be different from what they look like from the outside. I can't believe for a minute we would have spent as much money. We would have been happy to invest in the team. I mean, that was a precondition as far as I was concerned. I think it's an extraordinarily difficult job Graham Potter's got, coping with all those new people in the team.
Mm.
You can take in one, two players. You start taking in seven and then another seven halfway through the season. It's difficult to get the right blend.
My personal feeling, I don't know any of these people, but the first window was the problem. The second window, when he actually got a recruitment team together, I think they bought well. They bought young, they bought well. They look, the players they bought, to be good. The first window was the problem, though, when, you know, it's one thing knowing about baseball and being in baseball, but it's another thing in football. And it does look, you know, personally, from a personal point of view, that it was a bit of a flop, that window.
Yeah. I think I'd be tempted to agree with you.
Mm. Yeah. But you come into a club, you want to make a splash, and you sign the kind of profile of players. I mean, Koulibaly was a player that was linked with lots of top European clubs. Raheem Sterling is kind of proven track record in England international. But
they're an older profile than the players that they bought in this window.
Yeah. The players in this window look like they could be around for quite a few years and be the basis of a good, strong team going forward.
Was it? I mean, are you looking, because there were some stories, I saw some reports in the Liverpool Echo, that you potentially could have been interested in a minority share in Liverpool last year? I don't know whether that was true or not.
Thought about it. It's interesting, really. We approached quite a few of the people we'd been involved with on the Chelsea bid. Not Josh Harris and David Blitzer, because you know they've gone back to Crystal Palace, and I think you know that's where they are, so to speak, so we wouldn't do that again. But you know, they're foreign billionaires, really high net worth individuals, but they've all got their pad in London, and when they come, it's in Knightsbridge or Kensington or somewhere like that. When they come and watch Chelsea.
Mm.
So they were all kind of Chelsea fans.
Yeah.
And like, why would I want to buy Liverpool? I haven't taken it any further.
Right. I mean, so could you potentially be tempted? I mean, as you said, it was a passion thing for you and them, and for Tim, who's a Chelsea fan. So could you be tempted to maybe look at a club if the price was right?
No, not really. I mean, my son worked with me on the Chelsea bid. I think it's probably more accurate to say I worked with him. And Michael is deep into M&A in sport, so he could easily be interested in one or other football clubs. I'm the same age as Andy. It's time to sort of watch what everybody else is doing
don't tell the bosses that. I'll be out of a job. You were also a director of the British Horse Racing Board, and you're a racehorse owner, aren't you? You must have a love for that, like we do of Cheltenham, which is coming up soon.
Every year, it's the first 4 days in the diary. There's a bit of a theme in the book, because I think three or four different times some crisis has occurred in Cheltenham Week.
Yeah.
Why do they always choose Cheltenham Week?
that is very, of course, that in the infamous Gold Cup day where we thought all racing would be called off as the pandemic hit. And you worked in F1 as well, didn't you? Involved in Formula One?
Yeah, and the team we started and created is today the Mercedes team, actually. It's a pity we couldn't have achieved the same success with it as Mercedes have. But that was a real learning curve.
Mm.
You know, starting a Formula One team. We made a number of mistakes. Gradually got there. I think when we put David Richards in charge of it, he got a grip on it, and got Jenson Button in driving for us. Started having some proper success, but it's an interesting sport.
Mm. And returning to football, the big story at the moment is the Premier League's charges against Manchester City, and you would have had plenty of dealings with the Premier League, probably looking to buy Chelsea, and certainly in your time at Liverpool. I just wonder what you make of this situation. Well, obviously Manchester City denying all charges and wanting the chance to clear their name.
You know, my experience in this sort of thing, Paul, is there's always at least three sides to the story. There's the Premier League story, there's the Manchester City story, and there's the truth. And that's just for starters, really. Mm. So I would be reluctant to rush into condemning them. I think they've got a tough task, City, because UEFA basically found them guilty on some of those charges, and then they were overturned on a time-barred basis, which doesn't apply here. So I think on an uphill struggle, but I don't think we should jump to any conclusions on what the outcome's going to be.
And as somebody who's looked after a club in the Premier League, there is the clubs act, if you like, collectively through the Premier League, but there's an awful lot of competition between them. We were chatting earlier on about some of the other clubs kind of wanting their pound of flesh should ultimately City be found guilty of these charges.
You can fully understand why they would want their pound of flesh. But I think if you just step back from it, you know, until Roman bought Chelsea, the Premier League for a decade had basically been a duopoly, United and Arsenal. Chelsea, Roman's money made Chelsea enter that scene and it became three. Then Mansour came in with City, which made it four. Fenway coming back revived Liverpool without spending anywhere near as much money, which made it five. You've now got the Saudis coming in with Newcastle. You got six. And I suppose, Andy, so as we don't upset Paul, we could add Tottenham to that list a little bit. But you know, there's the Premier League is what it is, because at the start of the season there were six or seven clubs that just might win it. That doesn't happen anywhere else. And Manchester City were a key part of that transition. So, you know, let's. I'm not condoning breaking the rules.
This is Martin Samuel's point. He makes the
Times Martin
today.
Martin made a very good point that maybe we should be looking at the rules as well as the breaking of it.
And the fact it was a, you know, if you like, the old guard saying, you know, we don't want anybody
that
else.
That was always my argument when people used to have a go at Chelsea. Yeah. Say, well, of course, Manchester United, Juventus, Barcelona, Real Madrid, the big Bayern, they're not happy about it because they got it to themselves.
Finally, your love of music comes across as well in the book, when the chapter heads and stuff. The book is called Whenever I Hear That Song. So music's been a big part of your life as well.
It's not that music's been a great part of my life. It's just that the key moments of my life have usually been associated with a song in some shape, size or form. You know, when you think of your Formula One, you've got Carmen, the background music that they use for the podiums. You've got, obviously, You'll Never Walk Alone, which nobody really can hear without visualising those vibrant voices on the cop shouting. It's a spine-tingling thing. British Airways, the flower duet. Every time you get on a British Airways plane, you know that you get that. So everything I've been associated with at different times, there's been a song that, when I hear it, it takes me back to that moment.
Well, if you haven't done Desert Island Dish, I think you probably will. You will be now, won't you?
You should be.
There's no work to be done. So. Well, good to meet you.
Very nice.
And thanks very much for coming in. And we wish you well with the book.
Thank you very much indeed.
Whenever I hear that song, The Memoir of a Very British Businessman by Sir Martin Broughton, is available now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Carry on TalkSport and Nick Ellerby's Sports Bulletin were neck and neck, but pulling away to win it was this one. Yes, it is. For once, you've forgone the filth, which you tend to like. It's Nick Ellerby with the sports news. And as we said earlier on, we promise you this is exactly how it went out.
Defender James Collins has told TalkSport he owes his career highlight to Bale, who Collins says got Wales to Euro 2016 almost single-handedly, while TalkSport's own Wales legend Dean Saunders says the country should build a statue of Bale.
My name's Carl, and I'm a wombat.
Yeah, what an excellent clip.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get Dean saying that, haven't we? My name's Carl, and I'm a wombat.
We should. By the way, there is somebody called Robert Slay. We always like to check these things out. Bob Slay.
Well, you say we.
Well, me and the producer. Yeah, he works for Philips. He's just been appointed the managing director of Asia.
Do you think he calls himself Bob?
Well, he probably doesn't, really.
I mean, if you're Robert Slay, you're not going for Bob, are you, really?
No, not really.
Well, it reminds me, the guy invented the Learjet. He called his daughter Shanda.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's a cruel joke on your kids, isn't it? It's the sort of thing you'd sort of, when the baby's first born, you'd probably say to your other half, let's call her Shanda. Then you laugh and you call her something else. Oh, no, he went for it.
We're still looking for Iris recognition.
Yeah, this is a lovely girl, Iris. We haven't seen her. Sorry, the producer's shouting at me. Yes, that's true. It's a bit like the assistant coach at Leeds, Chris Armas. And so you can say to Leeds fans at the moment, so, you know, you're looking forward to Chris Armas. You know. And then the Leeds fans, if they win, can sing tonight, simply having a wonderful Chris Armas time.
It's very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Myself and Charlie Baker will do it all again tomorrow. Though, Andy, you will pop up at 3:30 for the birthday spread.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to it.
So do hope you can join us then. If not, as always, the podcast will be available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.